Today's daf is Menachos Daf Peites. We are holding on the very top of Daf Peites Amud Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored L'Zuchus Rufus Shleima for Sar Rivka Bas Hinda Bela, also by Moshe Han L'Zuchus Rufus Shleima for Atarat Siona Bas Shlamas Gila, and a third one I'm going to sponsor L'Zuchus Rufus Shleima for Moshe Yehuda Ben Sevya. Okay, so this should all be L'Zuchus Rufus Shleima. This should all be Nisrafi B'toch Shar Cholei Yisrael. So we are holding at the top of Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph, and we went through yesterday the different midos that they had for midos halach. The Mishnah went through the different measuring cups that they had in the Mikdash for liquid measures. So we're going to discuss the source for the idea that you need a chatzi log shemen for a karban toda. Where do we get that idea from? So that's going to take us through the skinny lines of Amud Aleph, and then we're going to have the basis for the machlokas that we had yesterday, whether what the ratio of a log shemen has to be. Is it one log shemen for each yisaron of flour in a carbon mincha, or is it one log shemen no matter how many yisaronim of flour there are in a carbon mincha? So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about how they figured out that a half of log of oil is what they needed for each ner in the menorah. How did they figure out that that's what's going to be? Well, it lasts them from nighttime to morning, and there are two deos, and we're going to see what the two deos are arguing about, what the nekudas hamachlokas is. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, discusses what happens when the sachim of different karbanos get mixed with each other. At what point do we assume that that mixture apostles them and therefore they can no longer be brought? And when do we say that no, such nesachim that get mixed together, so just bring them together and it's no problem, they could all be nesnasech al gavei hamizbeach. And on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss at the end of the daf what happens when a particular karban has a unique accompanying requirement, and then it turns out that karban is not going to be olal by l'shem chav. I mean, you do the karban shalol l'shma, so anyway the karban is not going to work. Do you do the special requirement that normally only goes along with that carbon and wouldn't go along with any other carbon? Do you still do that, or do you say no, if it's not L'Bayim Shem Chov, it's no longer that carbon, so you're not going to do the accompanying requirement anymore? So let's begin Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph at the very top of the page. So the Gemara is at Chatzi Log Shemen L'Toda at the two dots. So we had said in the Mishnah that you need a Chatzi Log Shemen for the carbon toda, for the chalos of the toda. So the Gemara brings a brisa that shows us where we got this from. Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ma Tamalomer Bashem Bashem Shnei Pa'amim. Why does it say the word Bashemen twice when the Torah describes the lachme toda? The Torah says that Vikrav al Zevach toda chalos matos belulos Bashemen, and then Urukiki matos meshuchim Bashemen. It could have just said chalos matos belulos Urukiki matos meshuchim, and both the belulos and the meshuchim are Bashemen. Why does it have to say Bashemen twice? Ilo namar el Bashemenech, v'yisi omar harei u'kechal menoch salog. No, because if it only would have said Bashemen once, I would say it's like every other carbon mincha that requires a log of Shemen. Ach, shav shekasa Bashemen, Bashemen. But now that it says Bashemen twice, have a riboy acha riboy, vein riboy acha riboy, elo lema'et. It's a double riboy, and whenever you have a double riboy, it's always coming to exclude something or to limit. So miyato akasav l'chatzi log, the pasuk is limiting the amount of oil that you use to a half of a log for the lachmi toda, and not a full log like you would for all other karbonos mincha. Now the very idea that ein riboy acha riboy el lema'it, I would have said ein riboy acha riboy el l'rabos more. So the idea that it's lema'it is somewhat of a chiddush. The Yad Ramah talks about this in his commentary Masech Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav, and he says, well, if the second riboy is extra, so it's eino inyan the riboy teneo inyan the miut. Meaning if it's totally extra because we're already marbe, so it must be that we apply it's similar to the principle of im eino inyan, that sometimes you have something that's taught in a particular parsha, but we already know that halacha within that parsha. So we say, okay, im eino inyan for this parsha, so it's an eino inyan to a different parsha. So this is a different form of im eino inyan, where it's not that we're applying it to a different parsha, but we're changing the application. We're applying a miut rather than a riboy. And then the Yad Ramah says, or it could be that the second riboy is melamed on the first riboy, that just like the second riboy is not coming to really be marbe because it's already nisrabe with the first riboy, so it must be that the first riboy is not coming to be marbe. So you have two words that sound like ribuyim that are daf and not coming to be marbe. Why would the Torah emphasize in two different words that we're not being marbe something? It must be that we're being mima'it something. Or you could say, like the Tos Yantav writes in the name of Beis Yosef, that it's Halach al Moshe Misinai. We don't know. This is just the way. Halach al Moshe Misinai, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a way to darshan the Torah. This is how to decode the Torah. That ain't riboy achar riboy el lemiut without any svara. But that's how we get the idea of a chatzilog shemen for the chalos of a todah. So says Gemara, wait a second. Riboy achar riboy, chad riboy hu. This isn't a double riboy. The fact that the word bashemen appears twice, one of them is necessary lugufei. One of them is necessary just for pshat in the pasuk. So it's really only one extra riboy. Just I need the pasuk to say bashemen just to tell me that there is shemen, because not every korban mincha has shemen. A minchas chote, for example, lo yasim aleh shemen by a minchas chote. A minchas sota lo yitzok alav shemen, because the chote and the sota, we don't want them to have nice korbanos. We already went through in the Gemara why it is, but the point is that it doesn't. So I need one bashemen to at least just tell me that there exists a requirement of shemen. Eli ilu lo nemar bashemen kol ikur hayis yamarei kol menachos lelog. Had it not said bashemen, I naturally would have assumed that it does have shemen. I would not have assumed it's like the minchas chote and minchas sota. I would assume it does have shemen and has the same amount of shemen that every other carbon mincha has, that the chalos and rukikin of carbon mincha require a log of shemen, because you never find chalos or rukikim without without shemen. So that's why I would not have compared it to a sota and a chatos, because over here it's specifically chalos and rukikin, and every mincha that's chalos and rukikin can require shemen, so I would have naturally assumed it's a log of shemen. So now that it says b'shemen twice, it's a double riboy. The double riboy must be coming to tell me less than that you're supposed to bring less than a log of shemen. And therefore, we bring a chatzi log of shemen. So it says, so meaning essentially, both b'shemens are extra. Had it not had any b'shemen, of course I would have assumed that there's shemen. In fact, I would have assumed there's a full log of shemen. So we have two miyutim, two ribuyim rather than the two ribuyim. Buyim equals one miyut, and that miyut is to knock it down to a chatzilog of shemen. So yachli a chatzilog zem mischalek l'shloshes minim. So I would have thought that you take that chatzilog and you divide it evenly amongst the three different types of matzah in the carbon todah. Remember, carbon todah is 40 loaves; 30 of them are matzah. So the chalos, the rekikin, the revicha, the chatzilog should be divided evenly between the chalos, the rekikin, and the revicha. Keshu omer b'shemen b'revicha, when it says b'shemen by the Revicha as well, it says the solus murbechas chalos blos b'shemen shein tamalomar. I didn't have to say that because it already said shemen by the Revicha of the Chavitin, and you could just learn from there. So riba shemen the Revicha, it's telling me that the Revicha gets more shemen than the other types of loaves. So haketa, so how do you divide it up? Okay, I'm not going to take it and divide it evenly amongst the three loaves, but how do you divide it up? So maybe chatzilog shemen, you start out with the chatzilog v'chotze, and then you cut it in half. Chetzio l'chalos l'rekikin, half of that half a log, meaning a quarter of a log, goes to the chalos and rekikin combined, v'chetzio l'revicha. And the other half of that half a log, the other quarter of a log, goes just for the revicha. So it's not divided up into three even parts, it's divided up into two even parts, and the chalos and rekikin get one of those parts, and the revicha gets the other part. So Amalar Rav Elazar ben Azayir, Rav Elazar ben Azayir says to Rabbi Akiva, fancy drushes you're bringing me over here. Akiva, matamar b'kola yom kula b'shemen b'shemen. You could start being, you could darshan all day long about all the extra b'shemens and what you're learning from. Eini shomei alecha. I'm not going to listen to all of your drushes because we don't need any of your drushes. Elachatzi log shemen l'toda uraviyah shemen l'nazir v'achalas yom shabein nida l'nida halacha l'moshe misinai. This is on the list of halachas that happen to be halacha l'moshe misinai. The idea that you need a chatzi log shemen for a carbon todah and a revius log shemen for a nazir, that and the idea that you need that there are 11 days beinida lenida, all of that is halacha l'moshe misinai. One of these is not like the rest, right? The 11 days beinida lenida doesn't seem to really fit with the others. I'm not really sure why it's associated. We do find that halachas l'moshe misinai are often clustered and they're taught together. Good love of the Dofen Akuma, right? You have certain, but those make sense that they're together. They're all in the same category of halach. I didn't see anyone discuss why it is that Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nidal Nida. What is the halach of Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nidal Nida? On a Daraisa level, a woman sees dam, she becomes a Nida, she's tameh for 7 days in total. That's even if she bleeds for all seven, she's she stops bleeding at the end, goes to the mikveh, and she's completely tahora. So why is it that we don't do it that way? Because the in-between periods of time where she's eligible to be a nida, there is Yud Aleph Yom. There are 11 days in each cycle where she's not eligible to be a nida, where if she sees dam, the same dam, same shedding of the uterine lining, same everything, the targash or whatever, the same dam, but she sees it during those 11 days, she doesn't become a nida, rather she becomes a zava. So if she sees it for one day or for 2 days, she's a zava katana, she's only tame for that period. But if she sees for 3 consecutive days, during that time period, she becomes a Zava Gedola. And a Zava Gedola requires Sfiras Shiva Nekiyim. So we assume it's so hard to keep track, and we literally can't keep track because we don't know how we paskin in terms of how the Cheshvan, the 11 days, the Major Machlokas, Rambam, Ramban, whether it's you go back to the first time in her life, a woman ever gets her period, and you say, okay, those 7 days are Yimei Nida, and then the next 11 are Yimei Ziva, and you just go 7-11, 7-11, 7-11 for the rest of her life, that's what the Rambam says, or like the Ramban, that no, that each time she gets her period, it starts the Yemei Nida again, and then when those 7 days are over, the next 11 are Yemei Ziva, and then whenever she bleeds again, it could be a week after that, the Yemei Nida restarts, meaning after the Yemei Ziva are over, she's in days that are eligible to be Yemei Nida, but nothing's actually going to happen until she actually bleeds. So we don't know how to cheshbon that, and even if we did, we wouldn't be able to keep cheshbon, so we always assume a woman is a Zava Gedola, but she can only be a Zava Gedola if she sees for 3 days straight. True, that she can only be a Zava Gedola if she sees for 3 days straight, but that's what the Gemara tells us. Benos Yisrael, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Benos Yisrael, Lichmiru Al Atzman, that the Benos Yisrael took upon themselves an extra Chumra, Sha'afil Uroz, Tipas Dam Kechardel, Yosha Salah Shivin Akiyim. That even if they see just a tiny drop of blood, they automatically assume Zava Gedola. They automatically observe Shivin Akiyim, even though Lichora, that makes absolutely no sense. Because it, worst case scenario, they can't be a Zava Gedola. Worst case scenario, when they only see Tipas Dam Kechardel, is there a Nida, and they're only Tamei for 7 days total. Nevertheless, they required themselves to have Shiva Nekiyim. That was something that the Benos Yisrael accepted upon themselves. And that became so widely accepted that you don't even find in Poskim when they discuss Shas at Chak situations, whether there's room to be Mekel, you never find them say, well, anyway, this whole thing is just the Chumra of Benos Yisrael, so maybe we could be... They never even use it as like a sniff lahakel. In fact, the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that when a person davens, a person is supposed to be focused on his davening, obviously, so right before davening, you shouldn't do something to distract your focus. So the Gemara says that a person ain't at the moment to spell el mitoch halacha psuka. That if you want to learn before davening, the best thing to learn before davening is halacha psuka. Something that's not going to get your mind racing in one direction or the other. So that's not the meaning anymore. I think we generally have all shiurim right before a tefillah. So this way, if people come early to a tefillah, at least they'll clap a few divrei Torah or something. But you're not supposed to have your mind racing. It's supposed to be something that's very direct, something that you don't have to think about. So Gemara says, "Maya alacha psuka." So instead of saying, like, I don't know, don't steal or don't kill or something like that, you know, okay, nothing to think about, just don't kill, right? So instead, the pasuk says, "Maya alacha." What the Gemara says, "Maya alacha psuka." So you see that the Gemara is trying to make a point that has to be viewed as halacha psuka, that we can't veer from it, and we have to accept that. So anyway, this idea of Yud Aleph Yom Shebein Nida L'Nida is also a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, but again, I'm not sure why it goes together with the other halachos of how much oil you need for the carbon toda and how much oil you need for the nazir. Okay, belog hayamotit. So we said that they would use the measurement of a log for every mincha. Then we had a machlokas from Blazer ben Yaakov and the chachamim. Let's say you have a very large carbon mincha. You have shishim isaron of flour. Do you put now shishim log of shemen? Or is it one log of shemen, no matter how many isaronim of flour you put in the carbon mincha? So tan rabbanu b'mitzora ani, when you have a mitzora ani, then on the eighth day of his tire process, he brings one behema for his kapara, which is a keves la'asham. So ksiv, the pasuk says, isaron, that is minchas nesachim that goes along with the keves, is nisaron balul, Bashemen and Velog. that he has an Yisaron that's Balul L'Shemen for his Mincha and a Log Shemen. So the fact that it says the Yisaron and the Log, Yisaron Balul and the Log, Limed Al Yisaron Shetaun Log, we see from there that every Yisaron of Soles requires a Log of Shemen. Divrei Chacham, the Chacham say that's our source. Rabbi Nechem, Rabbi Blaz, Ben Yaakov, Omrim, Afilu Mincha Shal Shishim Esron Amein La Ela Luga, that no, even if you bring a very large cup of mincha, the 60 asonim of flour, you only need that one log. Shenemar, lemincha vilog shemen. Lemincha vilog shemen tells me no matter how big your mincha is, it's always going to be one log of shemen. So Rabbi Nechemi, Rabbi Loz, Min Yaakov, Hai Isarim, Bal of Log, May of Delay. What do they do with the pasuk that the Chacham used to tell me that it's only one log for all of the asronim of flour? Sa'ulu gufei, the kamarachmana, laisi chadisaron. They use that pasuk just to teach me about the mitzora ani himself, that the Torah says that he has to bring a minchas nesachim of nisaron that's balul with the log of shemen. But not any broader halacha about how much shemen you bring with larger karbanos mincha. The idach and the Chacham would say that no, this teaches us a din by all other karbanos mincha, because lugu I don't need it to teach me the din lugufei, because midigali rachmana gabi mitzora ashir shlosha karbanos v'shlosha esronos. From the fact that the Torah reveals to us by the mitzora by mitzora ashir that he brings three karbanos, a chatos, nola, and an asham, and together with that he brings three esronos for nesachim. So hacha by mitzora ani tichad karban, where he only brings one karban, so chad isaron, he only brings one isaron for his nesachim. The idach and Rabbi Lozman Yaakov holds it's the rich. No, the pasuk does need to tell me that he brings the one isaron, because sal kaday tichamina hol v'chas rachman. That since anyway the Torah is having so much rachmanos on him that he only has to bring one behema, since he's nebuch so poor, so I would have assumed that the Torah not told me that he doesn't need a minchas nesachim. Nebuch, he's so poor, we're already knocking down his karban to the cheapest we possibly can, so I would have thought that we do away with the minchas nesachim that goes along with this karban. And that's why I need the pasuk lugufei. I need the pasuk just to tell me that there is a minchas nesachim. I can't use this pasuk to teach me about all karban. Come on, you never have that. You never have an animal that's brought without any nesachim. So it's not a reasonable hava amina that they would have done away, that the Torah would have done away with his minchas nesachim entirely. So since it's not a reasonable hava amina, the pasuk is not needed to tell me that he in fact brings a minchas nesachim, and therefore the pasuk is able to be megala that by every carbon mincha, for each isaron, you need a log of shemen. V'rabbanan hay l'mincha v'log shemen mayavdilei. Okay, but what did the rabbanan do with the pasuk of Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov that teaches that no matter how large your carbon mincha is, it's always one log of shemen? Hahul l'misnadiv mincha shalo yivchos midavar ha-ta'un log. That's telling me a different halacha, that if a person volunteers to bring a karban mincha, he has to bring at least one isaron. He can't bring anything less than that which would require a log of shemen. Umaynihu, and what is the shir, what is that shir that is the minimum amount of flour needed for a log of shemen? Isaron, because you never find a log of shemen that's brought with less than an isaron. V'idach, and Blaz min Yaakov, how's he going to know that din, that whenever you misnad of karban mincha, it's got to be at least an isaron of flour? Tartisha. He also says you can learn both of these dinim from the same pasuk, because it's not really a drasha, it's just the mashmaos of the pasuk. One, that every mincha has to have log shemen, even if it's a very large karban mincha, and second, that every mincha has to be a minimum of the amount of flour that would require a log shemen. Meaning, all the pasuk is telling me is log shemen is what you need for a mincha. Now, that means what it means, which is no matter how large or small the mincha is, it's going to have a log shemen. So if it's very large, it's a log shemen, and if it's very small, it can't be too small to require a log shemen. It's always got to be a log shemen. So that's not considered really two separate drashos from the same pasuk. It's just the simple mashmaos of the pasuk. Okay, then the Mishnah went on to tell us how much oil they would use for the minchas nesachim of a par, of an ayil, of a keves. So he said shisha lapar. There were six log for the Milchas Nesachim of a par, Arba la Ayil, 4 log for an Ayil, Shlosha la Keves, and 3 log for a Keves. So Minalan, how do I know these numbers? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, by the Nesachim of the Karbanos of Rosh Chodesh, it says, V'niskeyem chatziyahin yiyya la par. Ah, it says chatziyahin for a par. So that's how I know that it means 6 log. Well, how do I know that there's 12 log in a hin? Hin treisa lugi havyan dechsiv shemen zayis hin uksiv shemen mishchas kodesh ye ze li l'dorosechem. It uses the word ze begematria treisar havyan. So ze is a gematria of 12. That's why I know that it's 12 log for a hin. So that's an unusual limud. That's always a discussion. Whenever we have a gematria in Shas to teach us a halacha, so Rishonim usually debate, well, is that really where we know it from, or is it really halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and the gematria is more like a remez, more of a, meaning it never tells us how much a log is, right? That a log is 1/12 of a hint, meaning you have to have some basis, right? So the log itself, the Rishonim point out that the log itself must be Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. There must have been some tradition as to what the log was to begin with. So it could be that, of course, and there was a tradition what the hin was as well, and we're just using this as a remez. That's a discussion, the Shita Mekvetzos and Maseches Nazir, because the Gemara Nazir says, how do I know Stam Nazirus or Shloshim Yom? Because the word Yihyeh is described by Nazir, and Yihyeh, the Gematria, plus in Havi, that Yihyeh is a Gematria of 30. So that's how I know Stam Nazirus is 30 days. So Shita Mekvetzos over there discusses, is that a real Drasha D'Oraisa? Is Gematria one of the Midos Shatar and Dreshes Ben? So that's a discussion in the Rishonim. Every once in a while in Shas, you have something like this, where a Gematria seems to be the basis of a Halacha. Shlosho Mechsa L'Menorah Chatzi Log L'Kol Ner. Then we went on to say in the Mishnah that the menorah needed a total of 3.5 log of shemen, because there are 7 neros, and each ner only required 1/2 log. So mina nimili, how do I know that that's true? The Tanur Rabban, we have a brisa that talks about the neros in the mikdash, and the brisa tells us the pasuk says me erevad boker that the neros yaruch osarun uvan me erevad boker l'fnei Hashem. So now you don't arrange the neros me erevad boker. What it means is, you should put in enough oil that it should last May Erevad Boker. Dover Acher, May Erevad Boker, and the Chavodah Shekshir, May Erevad Boker, Elazu Bilvad. That the only Avodah that's kosher, May Erevad Boker, is Hadlakas Neros. Meaning, normally after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim, you don't do anything, but Hadlakas Neros could be done, May Erevad Ad Boker. So, Vashiru Chacham Chatzilog, May Orta Viat Safra, and the Chacham figured out how much oil do you need in the Ner in order for it to last, May Erevad Boker, Chatzilog. So, Yikidarmi Milamal Lamata Shiaru, Vikidarmi. But that took some trial and error, right? So the question is, how did they first figure it out? Did they first put in a little bit and they saw how long it lasted? Not enough. So did they first estimate low and then add to it until they got to the number? Or did they first estimate very high and put in a lot and keep doing a little less and less each day till they got to the right amount? So that's a machlokas. What are they arguing about? So meaning, ma'idahavahava, right? You know, this, they figured it out. Bottom line is they figured it out, right? So why does it matter how they figured it out, whether they came from this direction or that direction? So mandiyamri mimata lemaila shiru, if you assume that they started with a smaller amount, Torah chasal mamonim shal Yisrael. It's because they didn't want to be wasteful. And the Torah has rachmanos on mamonim shal Yisrael, that we shouldn't be wasteful with our money. So they were very careful in how they used not to waste any shemen. But man diyamar mimal lamata shiaru ein aniyus makam hashirus. The one that says that it's mimal lamata, so you don't get stingy when you're dealing with mikdash, when you're dealing with avodas Hashem. So there's we're not supposed to have a sense of aniyus in a makom of Ashirus. So there's a lot of discussions over here related to this last little bit of Gemara. Meaning this idea, Eina Niyus Makam Ashirus, the Tshuva Me'ava, Talmud of the Noda B'Yuda, and Chelek Aleph, Simon Zayin, quotes a tshuva of his Rebbe of the Noda B'Yuda, which is printed in Madura Tinyana in Kunshas Achron Simon Zayin, that discusses these two contradictory klalim, meaning everyone agrees that they're both correct, it's just when you apply them. So how do I know when to apply Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus, and how do I know when to apply Hatar Rechasa Al Mamonim Shel Yisrael? So the Nodav Yehuda initially explains that whenever something is necessary in a Kli Shareis, Kalim that have to be Kadosh, B'Kedushas Kli Shareis, then we say Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus. And whenever something is not Mukhrach B'Kli Shareis, we say Atarach Chas Al Monim Shel Yisrael, and he gives a number of examples of this. But the Tshuva Me'ava quotes from Rashi that in every Kli Mikdash we say Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus, even something that's not a Kli Shareis, the Shofar Shel Mikdash, not a Kli Shareis, and nevertheless we say Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus. So the Nodav Yehuda has a different suggestion. He says to make something Mishal Kesef V'Lo Mishal Zav, that's not called Aniyus. Meaning if they choose to make something out of silver, not out of gold, that's not called Aniyus. A little variety is the spice of life. Silver is also a precious metal. If everything was just gold, it would look ridiculous, right? I remember seeing a feature on Donald Trump's apartment in Trump Tower. Everything was gold. It looks ridiculous. I mean, you need to have something, something different than gold. So that's not a violation of Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus. But to downgrade the quality of something, that would be Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus. However, you can only make something out of Kesef when there's no requirement in the Torah that it be made out of Zahav. And he says that's why the Gemara in yesterday's Daf had to learn from Psukim that the Neros were made from Zahav, even though they're Klishares. I Klishares Ein Aniyus B'Makom Ashirus. Yeah, but you can make Klishares out of Kesef as well. Now, it doesn't really solve all of the issues, meaning what we're talking about over here is an amount of Shema that you're going to use, which doesn't really relate to Klei Shareis at all. It's just how much Shema they're going to use in the trial and error. There is a discussion as well. The Gemara darshins that Lachas Menorah is Me'erev Ad Boker, because Ein L'Chavodah Shekshir Me'erev Ad Boker El Zu Bilvad. So Ben Yoyada just points out in our Gemara that the reason that Dafka Avodas HaMenorah is Kshir B'Layla as opposed to anything else is because the Menorah is a remez to Torah. The Shivas Kaneh Menorah, the seven branches of Chachma, but they all point toward the Torah. A Menorah is a remez to Chachma, Rotzo V'Hachkim Yadrim, because the Menorah is in the south. So since it's a remez to Torah, and Torah, Iker Talmud Torah, is Dafka B'Layla, Chazal say, Lo Nivra Alayla Ela L'Girsa, Gemara Nerevin, that night was created so that we can learn. So Dafka, the Limud HaTorah, that which represents Limud HaTorah, should be Kasher Me'erev Ad Boker. Shulchan Aruch actually passes this halacha in Siman Reish Lamed Ches Sif Aleph, that a person has to be very careful, B'Limud HaLayla Yosin Mi B'Shel Yom, with his nighttime learning more so than with his daytime learning, V'Mevata On Shemeruba. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a number of Mamari Chazal about Limud HaTorah B'Layla. So this always bothered me, because at night I never learn as well as I do during the day. At night my brain is totally fried. So at daytime, when I'm a little fresh, much fresher, I'm able to learn a little better. So then I realized that according to most poskim, limud laila doesn't mean staying up late at night. It means waking up early. So when you wake up early in the morning to prepare the daf and it's still dark outside, that's limud laila. That makes sense to me. The cell phone's not ringing, no one's bothering you, no one's... So that's when you can get your best learning in. So that's how it seems according to most poskim. Mishnah Berurah seems to write that way in Siman Aleph, based on the Zohar and the Mekubalim, that the Yikir Zman limud Torah is mechatzos halayla ve'elach. It's the second half of the night. It's not in the first half of the night. Shulchan Aruch Harav writes, a person should get up kodem ashmura ashlishis, meaning before the last third of the night. Okay, that's a little early, but that's what I recommend, and that's the best time for limud haTorah. Just another point over here. It used to be that they when they had to transport oil from one place to another, so Shem and Zayis from one place to another, they were worried about it spilling. So what they would do is they would put in some chazer schmaltz, and that would cause it to congeal, and then you didn't have to worry about spillage, because it would congeal. The Ramah in a tshuva discusses such shemen, and whether you're allowed to use such shemen. And the Ramah says that do we assume that it becomes asur because of the taroves of chazir? And he says that the poskim, the contemporary poskim, discuss, okay, now we don't use chazir anymore, but does it lose its status as shemen that's kosher lemahadrin when it's congealed shemen? So it's an interesting tshuva Rav Ozner has in Shevet Alevi Chelitesim Kuf Mem Gimel. You know, they sell for Neros Chanukah, they sell congealed shemen for the same reason. They don't want it spilling all over the place. Much easier to just set it up in the menorah. So Rav Ozner says that by the shemen of the menorah and the mikdash, probably you were not allowed to do that, because our whole sugya is about that we'd use kelim for lach, for liquid measures. So, and kelim that are used for liquid measures are only mekadesh that which is liquid. It's not mekadesh a solid. So it had to be liquid that they put into the kelim. So he says for the shemen of the mikdash, it certainly would not have been kosher. Aye, what about for Ner Chanukah? So it's true, Ner Chanukah, in certain sense, we use shemen zayis because that's what they used in the mikdash, because that's what lit the best, and it's a zecher to the menorah of the mikdash in some level or another. But not everything we do with Ner Chanukah is exactly parallels the Ner of the mikdash. So it could very well be, and that's what the majority of poskim say, that there's not really a problem with the congealed shemen, because there's no, it doesn't have to be exactly like the neros in the mikdash. There's a kasha that some of the achronim ask. There's a marsha, you know, the famous kasha of the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef asks why it is that we have 8 days of Chanukah, one day was not a nes, one day they had enough oil for one day. So the marsha suggests, because the menorah was tameh, so they couldn't use the menorah, and they couldn't make a new menorah because they were all tameh, and they would have been metameh the menorah as soon as they made it. So what did they have to use? They had to use shivrei klei cheres that are tahar, broken shards of cheres that had become tahar, so that came from a larger kli that were now broken. So and the halacha is that shivrei klei cheres are only tahar if they're broken to the point where the base kibul is less than a chatzi log. So they had to use shivrei kli cheres that were smaller than a chatzi log in order to light the Neros Chanukah. But this was the longest night of the year. This was the winter night, right? At the end of Kislev, beginning of Teves. So they had, they were Meshayer, now Sugya. Chatzi log is what it takes to get through the entire night. And the kelim that they had, they didn't hold the chatzi log. That was the nes of the first night, that it stayed lit. And then there's a whole cheshbon some of the achronim to try to figure out if it in fact was the longest night of the year on the first night of Chanukah. It was Chaf Hei Kislev, the longest night of the year. But some of the achronim bring that maybe this, according to this marsha, you see a raya that you don't need a kli for a menorah. Shivrei kli cheres is not a kli. Rav Shapta told us that Rav Soloveitchik, when he was in YU over, he lived in Boston, but he came to YU 3 days a week to say shir. So when he lit, they had a little apartment for him. So when he lit Ner Chanukah, he one time forgot his menorah, his Chanukiah. So he took a piece of foil and put it down, and took candles and burnt the bottom of the candles and just stuck it down on the foil. So Rav Shapta had just given shir that day and had explained that it's machlokas achronim whether you're allowed to do that. That many achronim hold that it needs to be in a kli, tumid shemen shel mikdash. So one of the talmidim told Rav Soloveitchik, "Oh, I don't think you're allowed to." Said, "I don't think you're allowed to do that." Rav Shapta just said, "He said, who told you you're not allowed to do it?" Yeah, Rav Shapta just said in shir that you're not allowed to do that. Tell Shachter he's crazy. That was in Nevesh HaRav. It says that. Rabbeinu, responded betokef or something like that. But the way Rav Shach always tells us, tell Shach that he's crazy. So he's not crazy. It's a machlokas achronim. Rav Soloveitchik obviously held that you don't need a kli. But maybe this marsha is a riot, because marsha holds it's shivrei kli cheres that by definition aren't a kli, because if they were a kli, they would be tamei, and then they couldn't be used. Okay, let's go weiter now. So in the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Peitas Amidal. So the previous Mishnayos, we discussed the menachos of the par, the ayil, the keves, and how they're all different from each other. The par requires 3 esronim of flour and 6 log of yayin and shemen. The ayil is 2 esronim of flour, 4 log of yayin shemen. So the same ratio of flour to yayin v'shemen, but different numbers. And the keves is a different ratio entirely. It's 1 esron of solas and 3 log of yayin and shemen. So what happens if nesachim gets mixed up with each other? Ma'ar v'niskei parim v'niskei elin. You're allowed to mix the niskei yayin or the niskei shemen or the solas of the parim with that of the elim, even though they have different shiurim, but it's the same concentration. It's the same ratio. Niske kvasim b'niske kvasim. And if nesachim of two different kvasim get mixed up with each other, also same ratio, so it's fine. Shel yachid b'shel tzibur, the nesachim of a yachid with the nesachim of a tzibur also can get mixed in with each other. Shel yom b'shel emesh, and also the nesachim of today's carbon with yesterday's carbon, it's also perfectly fine. Aval ein ma'arvin niske kvasim niske parim ve'elim, but you cannot mix the nesachim that go along with the kvasim with that which goes along with the parim ve'elim, because the ratios are different. So if you're going to have more shemen per flour by kvasim, so it's a much more liquidy mixture than you would have by parim ve'elim. Parim ve'elim, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. By kvasim, it's a 3-to-1 ratio. V'im belalon, and if you did mix them together, v'im belalon rather, elu b'fnei atzman ve'elu b'fnei atzman v'nis arvu, if you did the mixing of the minachos and the parim or the kvasim separately from each other, and then later they got mixed together, ksherim, it's still going to be kosher. Im ad shalom balol, pasul. But if they got mixed together before you did the belila, before you mixed the flour and the oil together, then it's going to be pasul. Hakeves haba ima omer, the keves that comes with the minchas haomer, afal pisha minchaso kvula, even though it's twice the mincha of other minachos that go along with the kvasim, it's shnei esronim, loy nesach of kvulim. The nesachim are not doubled. You bring three logos of yayin, three log of shemen, just like any other mincha of kvasim. So it says Maruminu, I'll ask you stira. You know, it says in the beginning of the mission that you're allowed to mix nesachim with other nesachim as long as the ratios are the same. Bryce doesn't seem to say that way, because the pasuk says vihiktiro, that it says vihiktiro. According to Hamizbecha, it doesn't say vihiktir, it says vihiktiro. Shelo ya'ariv chalavim bechalavim. And this teaches me that you're not supposed to mix the chalev of one carbon with the chalev of another carbon. So Stama, the same is also true about the nesachim, that you shouldn't mix one with the other. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, im nis arvu ka'amar. No, the Tana is telling me b'diavad, if it happened. And the Brice of Yiktiro is that it's asu l'chadchila. So our Mishnah is not telling me you're allowed to do it l'chadchila. Frankly, Gemara, ihachi, if you're going to tell me that our Mishnah is not talking l'chadchila, when it goes on to say in our Mishnah, ve'in ma'arvin niske kvasim v'niske parim ve'elim, v'afil nis arvu namilo, and even if they were mixed b'diavad, you're not allowed to be mak of them. But if the sefer goes on to say by the menachos of the parim and the kvasim, that if they each got mixed separately and then they were joined together, then it's going to be kasher. Sounds like in the reisha where you're dealing with two things of same ratio, you're even allowed to do it lechachila. So how can you tell me our mishnah is b'diavad when we're talking about two different ratios, two different the kvasim with the parim that are different, there are different concentrations. So we said it's kosher b'diavad if it gets mixed after they were they each had their own belila. But it makes it sound like when you have two things of similar concentration, then it's you're even allowed to do lechachila. So Amar Rabbi Hachi Kamar Ma'arvin Yenan im nisariv salta nishmanan. What the Mishnah means to say is when it says Ma'arvin, of course it's lechachila, but it doesn't mean you're allowed to mix the shemen lechachila. It means the yayin, that you're allowed to mix the yayin because the solus and the shemen are already mixed together, so now you can mix the yayin together of the two different karbanos. Wait, if the flour and the oil were not mixed together, would you then not be allowed to mix the yayin together? We have a brisa that says you are allowed to be ma'ariv the yayin together. When you already burnt the solus and the shemen, then you're allowed to mix the yayin lechadchila, because you don't have to worry that you're going to come that since you're mixing the wine, you're going to come to mix the flour and the oil, because the flour and oil is already done. Hecha de lo huktar, but if the solus and the shemen is not yet burnt, im nisariv silton ushmanon ushamnon ma'arvinami yenon. Then, if you've mixed the solus and the shemen, you can mix the yayin as well, because it's too late about the solus and the shemen. Vim lav, but if the solus and the shemen have not yet been mixed, ein ma'arvin, then you would not be allowed to mix the yayin. Dilma asil ruve solos shem lechadchila, because you might come to be ma'ariv the solos and the shemen lechadchila. Now keves habayim ma'omer. We then said in the Mishnah that keves that comes with the carbon omer, even though it's a double mincha from other menachos, the nesachim are not doubled. So how do we know this? Tan rabbanan umenchasu shnei esronim that by the carbon omer. It's shnei esronim limin al keves habayim ma'omer shemenchasu kfula. So we see it's twice the amount of solas of a regular mincha. Yachol k'shem shemenchasu kfula kach yeino kafel. So I might think it should be double the amount of wine as well. Tamalover v'nisko yein yayin revius hahin, that it's one revius for two esronim of flour. Yachol yeino kafel she'ein v'lalu minchaso. I'd say, okay, you're not going to double the wine because the wine doesn't get mixed with the flour anyway. Av liyesham no kafel she'nivlo minchaso. But I would think that the shemen should be doubled because that is mixed with the flour. Tamalomer v'nisko kol nisachav lo yuhu el revius. That's why it says v'nisko, to tell me all of the nisachim, whether it be the wine, whether it be the oil, should only be one revius. My Talmudah, how do you see that from the word v'nisko? Amar Blazer k'siv v'niska v'karinon v'nisko. Ketzad. So how do we explain it? Niska de mincha, the nisachim of the mincha, which is the shemen. Kinisko de yayin should have the same shear of nisko, which is yayin. My yayin revius av shemenami revius. If yayin is revius, shemen is also supposed to be a revius. Okay, Beis Shem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Yochanan.